This recording, Alabama 3, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Sarah was a nurse who had been working in the newest area of the territory. She was very happy to start another new job, this time in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. On her first morning, she washed her face, put on a plain white dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah a letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the bird. The goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Karma, Karma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it took some force to trap her, but Sarah managed by gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm and singing to her. Her efforts were not futile. Very soon, Karma began to tire, and Sarah gave her a relaxing bath, washed her, and laid her on a cloth for diagnosis. Almost immediately, Sarah remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. The treatment was very expensive, but Mrs. Harrison, millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in northeastern Alabama. I was born in Jackson County, and that's in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. Jackson County borders on Georgia and Tennessee. My ancestors had probably lived there for well over 100 years. I was raised on a farm. My father had a cotton farm and a corn farm. And so as I grew up, I picked cotton, hoed cotton, pulled corn, fed animals, and worked in a chicken house. And having done all that, I don't think there's anything that is beneath my doing. If you've slopped hogs, you can do lots of things. I attended a small school. I think there were 15 folks in my ninth grade class. My parents were unable to finish school themselves because of their economic circumstances. My father was an orphan by the time he was 14, and my mother grew up in a very poor family, so they were not able to finish high school. The teachers that I had were very quickly my role models, and I would look toward them for what I was hoping my future would be, which would not be out somewhere in the hot sunshine picking cotton. There's not a lot of free time on a farm, but as I remember back on the things that we did in our leisure time, I remember simple things like playing hopscotch, playing with dolls, playing in a playhouse outdoors, watching TV, playing dress-up, listening to the radio, and our homes were close together, although we lived in a farming community, so many times we would meet our neighbor friends outside and we would ride our bikes, we would play softball. Sometimes we would have war with corn cobs, which could be quite dangerous at times. I remember riding my bicycle with a neighbor. She was riding the bicycle, I was on the handlebars, and somebody was on the back seat. And we had this giant hill that we would travel down. And one day as we were driving down the hill, seemed to be going at the speed of light, and I was ejected from the bicycle, went rolling down the hill, and have two scars now to prove that I was in that accident. So most of our free time was spent just doing the simple kind of outdoorsy sorts of things. Not a lot of TV watching, just very limited TV were we allowed. I also remember when we first got our telephone, which I suppose people of my generation had telephones when they were born, but I didn't. And I remember I was probably about 9 or 10 years old when we first got our phone, and we had a party line. So if you were to use the phone, you would pick up the phone and you would hear other conversations. You really would want to listen to those conversations, but you knew it was wrong, so you would quickly pick it up and then hang up the phone. And I remember being limited to my time on the phone to 15 minutes. I couldn't talk any longer than 15 minutes on the telephone, which is probably a lot different from our young folks today. As I think about growing up and I think about some of my fond memories, a lot of those would revolve around holidays. One in particular is Halloween, and I think Halloween is still one of my favorite times simply because of the experience that I had at Miss Davis's home. Miss Davis was an elderly lady, and she seemed to be elderly all my life. And she had had a large family, so she had a dining room table that sat either 12 or 14 people. I can't recall exactly which. But at Halloween, she would have her table just heavy with all of her home-baked goodies. She would have popcorn balls, candied apples, cookies, cupcakes. Christmas was a fun time, just like it is for all kids. My sister and I spent a good bit of time playing the guessing game as to where our mom might have hidden our gifts. And particularly, I remember the Christmas that we were to receive stuffed animals. Stuffed animals were really the rage. All the young girls wanted a huge stuffed animal, and so did we. So we prowled through the house until we found our stuffed animals. I received a pink poodle, and my sister had a purple poodle. And we played with those for hours when our parents weren't inside the home and tried to put on a really surprised face the day that we looked under the Christmas tree, although we had been enjoying them for weeks.